Tonight's shiur is on this coming week's parsha, Parshas Bo, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Wind of Destruction. So tonight we're going to look at the Makkah of Arba, and the Torah seems to emphasize that there's a wind that brings in the locust and there's a wind that takes it out. So we'll try to look at some of the other sources and the Mefarshim on the significance of the Torah mentioning the wind of destruction. So if you look in source number one, it's Parshas Bo, very beginning of Parshas Bo. It says, Vayit Moshe Mateu al Eretz Mitzrayim, Vashem Nihag Ruach Kadim Ba'aretz Kol Yomahu V'chol Alayla, Habuker Haya V'ruach HaKadim Nasa Es Ha'arbeh. So Moshe took his staff all over Mitzrayim, on Eretz Mitzrayim, and Hashem, he drove this eastern wind. Kadim is interpreted by Rashi and the Mefarshim as an eastern wind. And it lasted the whole entire day and all night. And this wind, this Ruach Kadim, it brought in locusts. Vayal ha'arbel kol eretz Mitzrayim, vayanach b'chol gvul Mitzrayim, kaved me'od lefanav lo hayachin arbe kamov, acharav lo yakin. So there was a lot of locusts. It covered up the land completely. And there was never anything like this. Vayichasasin kol aretz, vatechshach ha'aretz, vayochal es kol isa v'aretz, Ve'ez kol priya eitz asher hosir habarad lo nosar kol yerek ba'etzu ve'esav hasadeh b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. And the locusts, they ate up all that was left over from the barad, and there was basically nothing left in Mitzrayim, nothing green left, no trees, no fruit, nothing was left. I mean trees, but no fruit. Everything was eaten up. So the question that I'm going to take up in this shiur is that the Torah seems to emphasize this Ruach Kadim twice in Yud Gimel. If you look back in that pasuk, it says, Vashem nihag Ruach Kadim ba'aretz, kol yomahu v'chol layla, and then it says, V'ruach ha'kadim nasas harbe. So the Torah seems to emphasize that there was this eastern wind that brought in the locusts, and it mentions it twice in the pasuk. So the question is there any significance to the fact that the Torah points out how the locusts were brought into Mitzrayim? Is there any reason why the Torah has to specify it? What's the purpose of mentioning Ruach Kadim twice? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi gives us the Pshat answer in source number two. He says, V'ruach ha-kadim, ruach mizrachis nasa es ha'arbe, lefi sheba kenegdo shemitzrayim bidromis ma'aravis haisa, kimo shemefurash b'makam acher. So the locusts, they came from the east. So there was a wind that was blown in from east to west, and Mitzrayim was southwest of Eretz Yisrael. So presumably it came from the Eretz Yisrael region. We'll see later on that I think the Malbim says that the locusts were found commonly in Bavel, and therefore the eastern wind brought the locusts from these areas, from Eretz Yisrael, from Bavel. It brought the locusts into Mitzrayim, which was southwest of Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi just tells us that it's practical, it seems like. He's just telling us that Mitzrayim is southwest of the area in which there were locusts, and the locusts just came in from the Eretz Yisrael region. So it's just practical. And we see again in source number three that the Torah mentions this wind again. It says, Vayafu Hashem ruach yam chazak me'od, vayisas arbe, vayiska'eu yam asuf lanishar arbe achad b'chol gvu Mitzrayim. So at the end of arbe, once again, Hashem brings a wind, but this time it's a western wind, because Rashi, I didn't bring in this Rashi, I should have, it was a mistake, but Rashi says it was a western, west to east wind, and it took all the Arba, and it brought it to Yamsuf, and there was nothing left, there was no Arba, Vayichazik Hashem asleep, Paro v'lo shilachas b'nei Yisrael, and Paro didn't let the Jews go. So the wind is very prominent in Arba, the wind brings it in, and the wind brings it out. And if you look in Rashi in source number four, he gives us a little geography lesson, so just sit tight. He says, Yamasuf, Omer ani, she Yamsuf, haya mektaso b'ma'arav, keneged kol ruach dromis, v'gam b'mizrach shel Eretz Yisrael. So he held that the Yamsuf, it's better if you had a picture, but Yamsuf and the Suez are really like surround the southern portion of Eretz Yisrael on the east and western side. Lefichach ruach yam tako la'arbe b'yamasuf kenegdo. So the Mediterranean wind, which was west, came in and it blew the arbe into Yamsuf, which was closer to Mitzrayim on the western side, southwest of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. V'chein matzinu le'inyan tchumin shu'upon al-tzad mizrach shenamar b'yamsuf ad yam plishtim a mizrach l'marav sim plishtim marav haya Shiyam Plishtim, sorry, Bemarav Hayosh, Namar Beplishtim, Yosh Vichevel Hayom, Goy Karesim. Okay, so factually, the Torah is just telling us that there are these two winds. One wind came from east to west, and it brought the locusts in, and then the wind that took them out and brought them to Yamsuf and disposed of them came the opposite direction, west to east. So it doesn't sound that interesting up to this point. It's kind of just telling us the reality, the facts, that in Mitzrayim, that's how Arba took place. But is there anything else that we could say about the significance of Ruach Kadim? So we find that Ruach Kadim presents itself in many other places, and it seems to be an idea in Hashgacha. So let's look, let's move on and see where we see the idea, and it's brought in through the Medrash. The Medrash on on this Pasuk, it'd be on the Pesukim on Arba, it mentions in source number 5, Vayit Moshe es Mateu, Vashem Nihag Ruach Kadim Ba'aretz, Kola Peranios Meruach Kadim. So he says all the bad things that occur, Peranios are negative occurrences in this world, come from an eastern wind. Shenamar, as it says, Meruach Kadim Tishaber Onios Tarshish. So in Tehillim it says that an eastern wind destroyed the boats of Tarshish. Ruach Kadim Charishis. So in Yonah, it says Eo, but it's a mistake. In Yonah, it says that there was an eastern wind that came in that was sultry, Charishis. And then finally, in Beshalach, so you get a preview of next week's Parsha, we see it says Ruach Kadim Azah. Before Kriyas Yamsuf, there was this wind that came from the east, and it was a very strong Azah. It was a very strong wind, and it was driving forth the waters of Yamsuf. So the Medrash seems to say that there is actually more to the idea of wind, of the Ruach Kadim, that the eastern wind tends to be a wind of destruction, as the title of this year points out. And there are parallels to the idea in Tanakh, to the idea that the Ruach Kadim always signifies peranios, bad things happening. So the question is, what is the significance, again, of the Ruach Kadim in terms of peranios? Why is this the measure, or why is this the method of bringing peranios? And we know that it doesn't always bring peranios, but we'll see from other midrashim as we go on that Ruach Kadim presents itself in many other cases where it's not nicker, where it's not clear. So what exactly is the role of the Ruach, of the wind, that comes from the east in these situations? So of course, in order to analyze this area of Torah in our Parsha, we have to look at the sources that the Medrash gives us and try to see if there's any insights that the Rishonim give us on this concept of Ruach Kadim. So let's look at some of the Psukim and the Rishonim, and then hopefully we'll get to some clarity on what the purpose of this wind is and how it functions vis-a-vis bringing peranios, bringing bad things into the world. So look at the Pasuk in source number 6. It's Tehillim. That's the first Pasuk quoted by the Medrash. And it says, Beruach Kadim Tishaber Onios Tarshish. With an eastern wind, the boats of Tarshish are destroyed. So Rashi over there says like this, Beruach Kadim Hu Lashon Peranios. So he agrees with the Medrash, and he says that it's the Lashon of Peranios. It's bad things. Bad things are going to happen. Shakadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Bo Min HaRishayim. So Hashem, he repays the Rishayim for their bad deeds using this wind. Kemoshin Amar. Vayola Hashem es hayom beruach kadim. So again, he mentions Beshalach. It says v'chein bitzur ruach kadim shivarech belev yomim. And so too by Tyre. So there over there it says a ruach kadim shivarech belev yomim. There was an eastern wind that I guess that functioned to destroy out in the sea. And beruach afitzim lifnei oyev. And there's another pasuk. With the wind, I should scatter them amongst the oyev, amongst the enemies. So we see again, not just from the Medrash, but Rashi corroborates the idea that, and he brings in other psukim. It's not just the psukim in the Medrash, but he brings in this pasuk from Yechezkel. And he mentions that the Ruach Kadim is a concept, it seems like a more important concept than what we would think just reading by the Arba, but it presents itself in other places. But again, he says that the Ruach Kadim is the brings bad news, basically. It's bringing bad things to the world. So what exactly is the significance, again, of Ruach Kadim? So I think we'll gain a little more insight from the next two psukim that we'll read, and then we'll get to a larger medrash that opens it up. So if you look in Yonah, again, so this is another pasuk quoted by the first medrash. Again, we see the presence of this this easterly wind. It says, Vayihi kizruach ha-shemesh vayaman elokim ruch kadim charishis vatach ha-shemesh al rosh Yonah vayis alaf vayishal snaf sholamus vayomer tov mosim echayai. So at the end of Yonah, he ends up telling Nineveh that, you know, that Hashem's going to destroy them. They do tshuva, and he leaves, and he's very distraught. And what happens is that there's this, as the sun rises, Hashem brings this eastern wind, Ruach Kadim, Charishis, which I think the English is sultry. That's how it said, that's what it said in Sefariah. And the sun was beating down on Yonah, and he fainted, and he said to Hashem, he asked Hashem to kill him because he couldn't take it. So we see the Ruach Kadim again. It presents itself in Yonah. So what is this Ruach Kadim? So Rashi says over there, Charishis, what is it? Amru Rabbasinu b'shashim in Hasheves, Mishasekes kol aruchos mipaneha v'chama me'od. V'chein tergim Yonasan shesika. So one explanation is that the eastern wind in this situation, in the situation of Yonah, was such that it destroyed all the other winds. It became the only wind present, and it was very hot. It's a very hot wind, and there was nothing to cool down Yonah, so he was extremely hot. So it was a very warm wind. So at least we get some insight into what the Ruach Kadim is. It's not just a regular wind, but it has this warmth to it, and added with the sun, it was pretty powerful against Yonah. But still, like, this doesn't really open up the area. All we know is that it's very warm, it's hot, but still, we need some more insight. We need some more ideas, some more facts, as, at least to understand what this Ruach Kadim is and what its significance. Because I think it has a tremendous significance in the framework of Hashgacha here. So if you look at the Radak, look in source number 10. He just adds a little bit more to Rashi. He says, Vayhi vayaman hizmin aruach lefi sha'a lahosif lo tzara al tzaraso kechom hashemesh. So he wanted to add to the heat of the sun, the beating sun down on Yonah. Uperish charishis chazaka. It was a very strong wind. Shinasu bnei adam kecharishim. So they were made like a cheresh, like a deaf mute. Benishivasa, as it was blowing. So it was a powerful, warm wind combined with the sun, and it completely beat down on Yonah to the point where he fainted. V'tirgam Yonah-san shesikasa v'ruach kadim hi chama v'tach ha-shemesh ha-ruach v'ha-shemesh. So it was a very warm wind, and with the shemesh, they functioned together to beat down on Yonah. So the ruach kadim is a prominent feature in bringing bad news to the world, bad things to the world. And at least by Yonah, we see some features of it, and it's very warm. And in the case of Yonah, all the other winds had stopped, and it was just the only wind that was present. But still, seems kind of boring here. Like, what exactly is going on with, in terms of this wind? What is this wind teaching us? Why the Ruach Kadim? So now, So the next Pasuk and Medrash opens it up to even more situations where we see the prominence, the prevalence of Ruach Kadim, where you wouldn't necessarily see it in the Pesukim themselves. So the final Pasuk of the Medrash, source number 11, is Vayit Moshe es yado al yam, Vayolech Hashem es hayam beruach kadim azar kol alayla, Vayasem es hayam lecharava, Vayivaku hamayim. So Moshe, he took his hands, and he stretched them out over the yam, and Hashem brought this eastern wind that was very strong all night, and he drove the water, and he made the area of the water dry, and the sea split. So this is pre-Kriyas Yamsuf. It was right before Kriyas Yamsuf that he did this. But again, we see Ruach Kadim. So this Medrash in source number 12, the Mechilta de Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it really opens up that the Ruach Kadim is present in almost all these, the most terrible situations that exist in Torah. So if you look in source number 12, it says, Hayam Baruch Kadim Azah Kol Alayla Ba'aza Shiruchos. It's the strongest of the winds. What's the strongest wind? V'ezu Zu Ruach HaKadim. It's the eastern wind. V'chein Atza Motza V'anshe Mabel V'anshe Sedom. So we find that this wind presents itself by the people in the Mabel and also by the people in Sedom. Shalom Nifr Mehen Ela Baruch Kadim. So they were destroyed with the Ruach Kadim, the eastern wind. Shenemar Menishmas Eloka Yovedu. Zeh Dor HaMabul. So there's a pasuk in Eov, which indicates that they were destroyed through a blast, almost like a blowing of the wind. And that's referring to the Dor HaMabul. So boom, we see one example, Dor HaMabul. You wouldn't know that the Ruach Kadim even presented itself there. Most people, if you ask them, how were they destroyed by the Dor HaMabul? They would say HaMabul. But apparently, Eov is indicating that there was this insidious wind that existed and somehow played a role in their destruction. But what's it doing there? Umaruch apo yichlu elu anshe sedom. So there's another from the wind of his nostrils, they were destroyed. That's a reference to Sedom. The chenat motza b'anshe migdal. And so too by Migdal Bavel. So not just the Mabul, Sedom, Migdal Bavel, Shalom Nifrimehen el Baruch Kadim, Shinemar v'yofet Hashem Osam. It says that Hashem scattered them. So what did he use to scatter them? He used the wind. V'gomer, Eina Fatza el Baruch HaKadim, Shinemar Baruch Kadim Afitim. So there's no such thing as scattering unless we're using the Ruach Kadim. V'gomer. V'chena tamotza. What does that say? Oh, sorry. Hold on one second. I looked this up before. Oh, so you see it by the Shvatim too, that they were all punished with the Ruach Kadim. Shneamar kihu bein achim yafri. And then it says Yavo Hashem v'gomer v'chein ata motza b'shevet bin Yamin v'Yehuda shlo nifrumehen el baruach kadim. Shneamar baruach kadim afitim lefanai v'gomer. So again, you see it in all these other places by the Shvatim when they were punished by Binyamin and Yehuda. V'chein at motza b'tzur, by Tyre, shalom nifram imena el baruch kadim, shenem art tzur at amarta, baruch kadim shevarech, v'gomer. V'chein at motza b'malchus alizazu, this joyful nation, she'ein nifram imena el baruch kadim, shenem art baruch kadim tishaber onios. So we see it by tzur also. We see it in all these places, Mabul, Sedom. Where else do we see it? We see it by Mabul, Sedom, Migdal Bavel. We see it by Tzur in Tehillim, the Shvatim, when they were punished, Shevet Yehuda min Yamin. So it's very common. It's not just a one-time deal here. He says, V'chinat motek shamakom asid lipara min harishayim be'gehenim. And you also see that in the future, when the Rishayim are going to be repaid in Gehenim, ein nifrimehen el baruch kadim, shenamar ki aruch me'esmol tifteh. So also, the Ruach Kadim will play a part in the destruction of the Rishayim in Gehenim. Mahu Omer Haga Barucho Hakasha Vigomer. So Af Kain Ata Omer Baruch Kadim Azab Azash Baruchos Veiza Zu Zurach Kadim Vayasem Asach Hayom Lacharava Asu Kecharava. So once again, we see the Ruach Kadim by Yamsuf that it made the water dry. So the point is that in all these situations, we find the presence of the Ruach Kadim, of an eastern wind. And even in situations where you wouldn't think that it existed, the psukim in Yirmiyahu and Eov and Hoshea, Yirmiyahu again, all these psukim seem to indicate that there was a wind that somehow played a role in the destruction. And even though it doesn't say it openly in the psukim, there's an implication, an inference later on through Navi. And we see that by the Dor HaMabul, by Migdal Bavel. So again, the question is, what's the significance of the eastern wind? Why does it play a role in all these situations where the Hashgacha is meant to destroy Rishayim? And furthermore, the Medrash says that in the future, in Gehenim, actually, the Rishayim will be repaid with this eastern wind, with the Ruach Kadim. So what exactly is the significance of the eastern wind in terms of punishment? So that's the question. I just found out this week that the Arabic... One of my patient's mothers mentioned that the Arabic language has an analogous word for Gehenim, which is interesting. They just call it Jehenim, and it means the same thing, which is pretty interesting. But anyways, that's a side point. So the question again is, what is that idea? What's the idea of Ruach Kadim? What does it mean that it's going to destroy the Rishayim in the future? What's its role in the destruction of Rishayim? Why does it present itself in the Torah in so many different places? Why does it present itself in Arba? What exactly, what's the deal with the Ruach Kadim, basically? Okay.
Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yes.
By Kriyas Yom Suf, it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing.
Yes, that is true. Well, it was a good thing for Klal Yisrael, but it was basically a destruction to the Rishayim. Right?
Yeah, I get that, but...
Well, that's what it's referring to. When it says that it's Peranios for the Rishayim. And in fact, the Medrash says that eventually they're going to be repaid with this Ruach Kadim. So it's always in the framework of destroying Rishayim. So this Ruach comes to help destroy the Rishayim.
Even if you can get benefit from it?
Yeah, even if we can get benefit from it as Jews. So what is the idea of the Ruach Kadim? Exactly. Okay. So, we have to get some answers here. And we'll look at the Malbim, source number 13. And he gives us a little bit of insight. He says in source number 13 of Hashem Nihag, it says by Arba that Hashem drove, like it's driving, pushing something. So, it wasn't a natural wind, this eastern wind by the locusts, but Hashem was driving it. Shegeder Paul Nahag the Hibadlu min Nahal Nacha Shemoshe Chadavar Bal Korcho. So the wording implies that it's being pushed. It's not just passive. Sheba Artos Hamizrachios Bavel Vaashur Shehem Mizrachis Tifonis Lemitzrayim. The northeastern areas to Mitzrayim, which are Bavel and Ashur, Sham Nimta Tamid Arba Lerov. That's where the locusts are located. Velohaya Miteva Hayomahu Shiasham Ruach Kadim. It wasn't built into the nature of the weather patterns that on that day there should be an eastern wind. Rak Hashem Niages Aruach Bal Korcha. So Hashem, he drove the wind forcefully. Vehagam She'ar Baruchos Minashvos Bechol Yom Kimashakasav Chazal B'Bava Basra. So in every day there's always winds from all directions, like Chazal say. Niages Aruach Kol Yom Bechol Laila. But Hashem, he drove this wind, this eastern wind, the whole day and all nights. So the Malbim gives us a little nugget, and he basically says that the Ruach Kadim, although it was, Ruach is a natural phenomenon, of course, wind, but it was driven by God. It wasn't just a natural, on that day, it wasn't supposed to be that windy, but Hashem basically controlled the wind, and he forced the wind to function to bring in the Arba. But he mentions that there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, and he highlights it. And I think that if we look at the Gemara in Bava Basra, perhaps we'll get a little more insight into the idea of the Ruach Kadim, and then, again, hopefully put everything together. But the point that the Malbim's making is an important point, that he's saying that it wasn't natural, because if it were natural on that day, the winds normally function at a normal rate, and this was an abnormal wind. It was a very strong wind, and it was definitely being controlled and forced onto Mitzrayim by Hashem, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what exactly is he referencing when he references the Gemara in Bava Basra? So let's look at the Gemara in Bava Basra. It makes it a little bit more interesting, and then we'll get to the idea. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Madechsev Ya'arov Kamatar Lechi. So look at Rashi in source number 15. So they're quoting Ha'azinu. And it says, Moshe Rabbeinu Dima Es HaTorah La'arba Ruchos. So Moshe compares the Torah to the four winds. Kashem She'i'evshar Belohim, Kach I'evshar La'olam Belo Torah. Just like the world can't exist without wind, it can't exist without Torah. So what does it mean, Ya'arov Kamatar Lichi? What's it referencing? That my words should fall like rain? Zo Ruach Ma'aravis She'ba'a Ma'orpo She'olam. So that's a reference to the western wind, which comes from the end of the world, the edges of the world, the back of the world. Look at Rashi, Mo'arfo shel olam, ani shamati mechezko shel olam, al shem shashchina b'marav. So one possibility is that the western wind is somehow associated to the Shechina, the presence of Hashem, which people locate in the western region. Vani Omer Me'achrov Sholom Shamarav Karoy Achor Shenamar Hein Kadam Olech Venenu Va'achor V'lo Avin. So another possibility is that it's Orfo means Achor, means like the end of the backwards, the backside of the world. So what does that mean? That's a good question. What does that mean? Tizaka telling Rasi zu ruach tzfonis shemazelas es azahav. So tizaka telling Rasi is referring to the northern wind, and it causes gold to be devalued. Why? Because the northern wind, it brings about a lack of rain and it dries up the crops. And when the crops are dried, so gold is less valuable. V'chenu omer hislim zahav mikis. And there's a pasuk that corroborates that. Fine. Kisi irim ale desha zu ruach mizrachis. So when it says kisi irim ale desha, what's it referring to? It's referring to the eastern wind. Shemisa eres es kol olam kisi ir. So it destroys the whole world. It rages amongst the whole world, kisi ir, like a seir. So what is that? Look at Rashi. It's a shade. Shade is like a demon. I'm just going to use the literal demon, but of course I'll define it and describe it. And the last idea is the southern wind, which is the good wind. That's the wind that brings about the water in order to raise the crops and to bring the grass up. So we see that the four winds brought down in the Gemara, based on the Psukim and Hazinu, have different roles. The western wind either is associated with the Shekhinah or from Achor, from the back of the world. The northern wind is the one that devalues gold because it removes a lot of it dries out the crops. And then there's the eastern wind, which the Gemara says it rages through the world like a shade, like a demon. And then finally, the Chervivim Aleisev is the southern wind, which happens to have the positive benefits of the wind. So this Gemara seems to highlight the idea that the wind, the eastern wind, again, is the destructive one, because he says it's the Ruach Mizrachis is Misa Eres as Kol Olam Kisir, that it rages through the world like a seir, like a shade. So what does that mean, that it's like a shade? What's the comparison of the raging of the wind to being like a shade? And there has to be a connection here between this and Ruach Kadim. It's not just an accident that the Ruach Kadim of the Medrash is the one that always brings about Peronios. So what is the relationship between this idea of shade, that not physical shade from the sun, but the shade, the idea of the demon? What does it mean, obviously? What's a shade? What's a demon? And then furthermore, how's it tied to the idea of the Ruach Kadim? Okay? We're almost there. We almost got to the final, and then hopefully it'll make sense. And then finally, source number 16, last point before we get to the key, the Sefer HaChinuch. It says in Tosvos, Ruach Mizrachis Shemsa'eres Kol Olam Kulo, V'chad Demashma V'mastishin Shinocha Mikol Aruchos. The Mishnah seems to imply that the eastern wind is the most calm wind. Hainu Kishi Iba Kidarka. That's only when it's natural. Avak Shabal the Peronios, he misa'eres, the perish akuntris b'masnisen. But when it comes to destroy the world, or to create destruction, to Rishayim, like we saw in the Medrash, so then it rages like a demon. So what's the comparison of the wind to the demon? And what's the significance of Ruach Kadim? Why does it present itself in all these cases in the Torah? And it's so hidden. And it presents itself once again by Arba as a means of destruction, of destroying that which the Rishayim have ownership of. So what is it? What's the Ruach Kadim? Does anybody want to try a possibility before we get to the Chinuch? The Chinuch doesn't give the answer. I think he just gives the last insight that we need to try to give a Svara. All right, so let's look at the Sefer HaChinuch and hopefully try to answer all these questions. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, Misharshe HaMitzvah, Hakdama Yadua Hadavar, Beinenu Ve'etzel Kol Chacham, Ki Nisim Gidolim Asher Yaseh HaKel El Bnei Adam Betuvo Hagadol Le'olam Yaseim Derech Seser. So he says that there's a general principle that we understand and we know that many of the miracles done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu are done in secret, not in an obvious fashion. V'nirim ha'inyonim na'asim kitzas ki'ilu heim b'darchei ha'teva mamish o b'karov l'teva. And many times when there's hashgacha, it appears as if it's natural and it's similar or works in a similar fashion to the natural world. So like in this case, he brings down this case. Kigam b'nes kriyas yamsof. Even by the Nes Kriyas Yamsuf, Shahaya Nes Mefursam, which is an obvious miracle, everyone knew that it was a miracle when they saw that the sea had split. Kasav Sham Vayola Hashem Esayam Baruch Kadim Azar Kulalaila Vayasem Esayam Lucharava Vayibaku Hamayim. So he quotes the pasuk from Bishalach that we mentioned before, that Hashem brought this eastern wind that was very strong all night, and he dried out the sea, and the sea was split. So he says there's a very deep idea, with regard to the greatness of God, v'shiflus hamakabel, and the lowliness of those who are accepting. Okay, so the chinuch is a little bit cryptic, but he does mention this idea that when nisim are done, oftentimes b'seser in secret. And the way that the nes is concealed is through nature and through the natural world. And it's similar. There's a similarity to the way the natural world works. And even in the presence of an obvious miracle, he says, like by Kriyas Yamsuf, there still is an idea of using the natural world to obviously to function in order to achieve this miracle. So in this case, by the idea of Bishalach, the natural world was such that the wind started, I'm sure it started slowly, and then it got stronger and stronger and stronger, and it got so strong that it ended up splitting up the sea. But the main idea that the Chinuch is highlighting is that there's an idea, there's an inyan of seser, of hiddenness to the Hashgacha, and the way that the Hashgacha is hidden is by utilizing the natural world as such, where sometimes it's not obvious as to what's going on. It's not so obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using Hashgacha, but there is Hashgacha present nevertheless. So I think that's the idea of the Chinuch, and he says that the idea of using nature as much as possible is even by miracles that are obvious. So with this idea, I'm hoping to explain the relevance of Ruach Kadim, why it's always used to bring in Paranios, and what the idea of the shade is, and what's the concept. So I just want to bring in, so there's a Rambam that says in the Mora, it's a famous Rambam, where he talks about how people oftentimes blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Onshim, but most of the time man is the cause of his own destruction himself. And oftentimes the Rambam talks about it, I didn't bring the Rambam in, but the Rambam talks about all the different situations where man himself and his own actions are what caused him to be destroyed, as opposed to a specific hashgacha to destroy a man. So like if you're a glutton, for example, so you're probably gonna, I'll just use that example, you're probably gonna destroy yourself naturally by eating too much, and you're gonna destroy your soul, because your soul will be fully attached and addicted to food. But also, aside from that, you'll destroy your body and you'll end up hurting yourself. And it's, if you die as a result of overeating and having a heart attack, so it's not really HaKadosh Baruch Hu that caused her death, and it wasn't Hashgacha, it was natural. So man, when the man is not in line with the correct philosophy and the correct way of life, so the Rambam talks about how most of the time, majority of the time, destruction occurs from within man's own decision-making, and it happens naturally. So maybe, perhaps, the idea is that the same should be said, or the same idea, the same concept, should be present when destruction occurs to Rishayim. So the idea is that Rishayim, the idea of Hashgacha destroying Rishayim, is hidden. It's Beseser. And the reason that it's Beseser somewhat, and that it's kind of hidden through the use of nature, is that the Rasha should recognize and should know that really the cause of his destruction is natural. And there should not be an idea in their mind that it's really God that caused this, and it's not themselves responsible for this. So the idea is that the wind is utilized as a means of bringing Paranios, and by Paranios I mean showing the Rishayim, destroying Rishayim. It's used to demonstrate to the Rasha the concept that he's the cause of his own destruction, that the cause of his own destruction is natural, and the idea of the hidden Hashgacha is really, it is Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person is being destroyed through Nes, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's Beseser, and the idea of hiding it through the function of Ruach Kadim is that the Rasha should recognize before he's destroyed that really he's the cause of his own destruction, and that really it's natural, and this is what happens naturally. So he should associate the concept of being destroyed through nature, with the idea that his destruction was caused by himself and not necessarily caused externally by an unjust God. And I think that's the idea of the wind being like a shade. So shade, according to the Rambam at least, is really a demon in the framework of man's mind. It's not a reality. There's no reality. There's no truth to there being flying demons in the world. But the concept of a shade is that it's really a play on man's ability to hallucinate, to think about, to give into his fantasies about what he's seeing, his fears. And the idea of shade is how it's tied to a wind, is that when a strong wind comes, it highlights or brings about man's fantasies of destruction. And in his mind, he starts thinking about all the possibilities, and he starts imagining all these things. And that's what it means in the Gemara, that the eastern wind is misa'eres, it rages through like a se'ir. It means that the destruction, the hashgacha of the eastern wind is such that it causes man to, it causes man's fears to come out. It causes man to basically destroy himself, to be in a situation where he's destroyed himself. So it's like a funny thing, because I'm saying on the one hand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing the destruction of Rishayim in these situations, but I'm saying the idea of Ruach Kadim is that there's a hiddenness to it of the Hashgacha. It's not an open Hashgacha to the Rishayim, so that the Rasha should recognize or at least think about the fact that his own destruction was caused by his own actions. It was caused naturally. And that's the idea of hiding the Hashgacha in nature, to demonstrate to the Rasha that his destruction is really natural, per se, and it happens to be that the Hashgacha is being utilized, but it's being hidden to demonstrate that, to show the Rasha the cause of your death is your own actions, your own decisions, and that's really what, that's why you're dying right now. So perhaps that's the idea that the Sefer HaChinuch is highlighting, that when Rishayim are destroyed, and it's the same thing with Gehenim, that's the idea of Gehenim. It means that in the future, when the Rishayim are destroyed, they'll recognize the truth of the fact that their actions are what caused their destruction. It wasn't external to them. It wasn't outside of their own free choice, their own free will, but it was their own destructions. There was their own decisions that caused their destruction, almost in a natural sense, in a natural way. And that's the idea of Ruach Kadim functioning in the future. And Gehenim, it's an allusion to the reality that Rishayim will accept that their own decisions had caused their own destruction. So I think that's the idea. I don't know if that's clear, but that is the idea I was thinking about as to the relevance of Ruach Kadim. So Ruach Kadim is almost like it's a concept in Hashgacha. It's like a rule of Hashgacha that it's utilized in Peranios. And I'm saying it's utilized in Peranios as a means of destroying Rishayim through Hashgacha, but being concealed that it's the Hashgacha, so that the Rasha thinks that it's natural, that it's in nature. And the reason is that the Rasha should recognize that his own actions are what cause his own destruction. So even though it's really coming from outside the Rasha, it's coming through wind, but the idea is that winds are natural, and people look at winds as if, you know, you have weather patterns. So the same should be said by the Rasha, that he should recognize, even though he's being destroyed by this wind, that he is the cause of his own destruction. So perhaps that's the idea of Ruach Kadim. I don't know if that... So any questions? It looks like Rabbi Unger wants to ask a question. Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is a question
or
a proof.
Okay. I like proofs.
Yes, Kriyas Yamsuf. Back to Kriyas Yamsuf.
Right.
When the water starts falling down on the Mitzrayim, they start running away. They said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fighting for the Jews. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So, now how does that work? In other words, the Kriyas Yamsuf is not a natural phenomenon of a wind. It was like never happened before.
Right.
So the Mitzrayim were in the midst of this. And not only were they in the midst of it, but they recognized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's fighting for the Jews.
Right. But I think the idea is that of that Pasuk in Mishalach is that it was pre the separation of the waters, because it says like this. If you go back to the Pasuk, if you go back to source number 14, it says, So it says that there was a wind that was kind of being swirling around all night. So why not just create a wind at the time of Yamsuf that opens up Yamsuf? Why was there a wind preceding the splitting of Yamsuf all night long? So the idea was that the miracle. What'd you say?
Because they had to have by a bunch. It had to be dry land.
I know, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating a miracle, why doesn't he just create the miracle at the time that they're walking through Yom Suf? Why is he starting the wind beforehand? Why does he start the wind the night before?
Because he does the miracle with the least amount of changes. So if you can have a wind
right.
that blows for 12 hours and clear and dries the mud into hard surface, so that's what he does. Why should he have to do more?
Right. So the point is that... The point is that the wind at the very beginning, it appears to the Rasha like it's natural. But as it gets stronger and stronger and stronger through the night and it separates Yom Suf, then it becomes obvious that it's Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, correct?
Okay.
So I'm saying that's the point. I'm saying at the beginning, even by Yom Suf, but at the beginning of Yom Suf, you have the idea of Nes Nistar. You have the concept that God is creating a miracle. But the miracle appears as if it's natural. And the natural world gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Quantitatively, there's more and more wind. And then ultimately, it becomes obvious that God is the source of this miracle, right? But why do it like that? Why create a wind which appears to be natural in the very beginning? And there's a hidden hashgacha there. It's not really obvious. And then ultimately, what happens is that it's obvious. It becomes like an obvious miracle. So what's that? What is the purpose or what is the function of creating the miracle in that way? So that's what I'm saying. The Ruach Kadim is the Ruach Kadim is the idea of the natural world with Hashgacha hidden in it till there's a point where everyone sees that it's certainly Hashgacha, that it's Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a Nes. But prior to that point, it appears natural. So why does it appear? Or what's the idea of it appearing natural in the very beginning of the Nes of the destruction of the Rishayim? Because that's what I'm saying. I'm saying the idea is not simply that. So why is it presented that way? So I'm saying the point is to teach the Rasha the concept that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is Hashgacha here in reality, but the Rasha doesn't see it. He only sees the natural. He only looks at it as if it's the natural world. And so too, he himself, his own destruction was caused by his own nature, by his own decision-making. Ultimately, of course, he realizes that it's Min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the very beginning, the Ruach Kadim, the hiddenness of the Hashgacha, by utilizing Ruach Kadim, is a means of teaching the Rasha the concept, or hopefully the Rasha thinks or believes, that really he is the source of his own destruction, much like this is natural and this is a natural wind, so too the Rasha should recognize, ultimately, that he and his own decisions naturally cause his own destruction. So I'm kind of saying it's like a lesson for the Rasha. And that's what it means that in the future in Gehenim, they'll be punished with the Ruach Kadim. Why are we using the Ruach Kadim? Because Ruach Kadim, like the Chinuch is saying, is a Ruach where God's Hashgacha is hidden within it. And it's like using nature with a hidden Hashgacha. The idea is that even though the Rasha is destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present is concealed. Why is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present concealed to the Rasha? I mean, you could say either because the Rasha isn't privy or doesn't deserve. One way you can go is say that the Rasha doesn't deserve the right to learn from Hashgachas Hashem. So that's another approach that you can take. And perhaps that's a better approach, that the Rasha doesn't deserve the right to learn or to study the Hashgachas Hashem, and therefore the Hashgacha is concealed in their destruction. The other possibility is what I was saying, which is to teach the Rasha the concept that really, even though it is Hashgacha, but they don't see the Hashgacha, they should think that it's natural. Why? Because the idea is that they cause their own destruction. It's really their own fault that they're in this situation. It's not really external to them. It's not really from God. It's true that God is destroying them, but the way the Russia should perceive it as such is that it was their own decision making. And had this not happened, they would have destroyed themselves another way. They would have been destroyed no matter what, even if this miracle hadn't happened. And that's the point that the Rama makes in the Mora. So there's two possibilities. I just thank you, Rabbi Unger. I think two possibilities to the idea of Ruach Kadim. One possibility of Ruach Kadim is that in destroying the Rasha shouldn't be able to perceive the Hashgacha. Because the idea is that the Hashgacha is something to be appreciated. It's something to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the Hashgacha is hidden, the Rasha can't see it. So they're not privy to this idea, to enjoying the Hashgachas Hashem, to enjoying how it works, to enjoying how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates in this world. So that's one possibility. The other possibility is kind of what I'm trying to get over, which is that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he destroys and brings Piranios to the world, he does it in Vesesar. He does it in a hidden way. And the reason is because people should view and should understand that really they are the cause of their own destruction. And it's true. In reality, had this wind not occurred, so these Rishon would have destroyed themselves. So they would have caused themselves to be destroyed. So the Hashgacha is kind of mirroring that. It's the same concept to the Rasha. So I don't know, whichever idea you like better, take for yourself. Yeah, go ahead.
In a world where the Rasha sees that he's the cause, it's usually because of cause and effect. A lot of times, you know, a person could see how, you know, there's a cause and effect thing in the world. It's not like a miracle. I think that if you see like a wind that just came out of nowhere, the Rasha would say really not.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm saying that the winds seem to have started, at least by Yom Suf and Baruch Kadim. The Baruch Kadim is the idea that the wind ends up being miraculous, but ultimately there's a hidden Ashkacha there, so it appears natural. So you're saying that if it was completely obvious that it was Hashkacha, then the Rasha could blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, it's not my fault, like you're the cause of my destruction, it's you. But that's not true. In reality, the Rasha should recognize, and it's his last chance to do tshuva, the Rasha should recognize that really he's the source of it, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing it. And that's really the purpose here, to hide the Hashgacha in the Ruach Kadim. So I think that's as far as I can go. So there's two possibilities. Last point, two possibilities, once again. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Can you explain how the shade, what you were talking about with the shade and how that fits into this?
Yeah, I was saying that really the idea of a shade is that it's destruction caused really by man himself, because there's no reality to a shade. A shade is a byproduct of the human mind, of how a person's fantasies take hold of their mind. So when you're harmed by a shade, like it's raging, and you're harmed by a shade, it's really your own fault, because you're allowing the fantasies of your mind to take control. And that's part of the idea of Ruach Kadim, which is, again, to demonstrate, it kind of fits into the idea that I'm trying to express, which is it's to demonstrate to the Rasha that he is the cause of his own destruction. And you see that when a wind comes, the fear, the idea of fear, the idea of fantasies taking hold of the Rasha is a demonstration that they themselves are causing their own destruction. So it kind of fits into the same idea. So that's what I mean by when the wind comes, it's like se'irim, it's like a se'ir, it's like a shade. It means that it plays on a person's fears, fantasies, and the Rasha is unable to see clearly, and he allows his fantasies to take control of him, because that's the nature of a Rasha. They're not in control of their mind, their thought, they're not perfected. So the idea is that that's how it works. It works through the Rasha's own mind, it works through him to demonstrate again that he is the cause of his own destruction. So the whole idea of Ruach Kadim is that you're using the natural world, it's a hidden Hashgacha, it's through the mental idea, the mental anxiety that exists, and the fantasies that take hold of the Rasha's mind prior to their destruction. The whole concept is that the Rasha should recognize that it's his own frailties that cause his own destruction. It's not really it's not really not his fault. It is his fault. He should recognize that it's his fault. And that's the idea of the Ruach Kadim. And that's why the Hashgacha is hidden. And it shouldn't be that the Rasha should be able to blame and say it's Hashem that's causing this. No, you should have to recognize it's your own fault. It's your own decision making. So that's the idea, and ultimately that's the Ruach Kadim of Gehenim, that when the Rishayim are destroyed in Gehenim, the idea is that they'll recognize that as to how their decisions had caused their own destruction, and that it's really their fault. It's not, you can't blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your destruction. You have to blame yourself, and I think that's the point. Okay, so that's the end of the share. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I'm saying at the very beginning, exactly. When the Ruach comes in, it's like a shade, like the Gemara says, it's Misa'eres Kol Olam Kisi'ir. And when the Ruach starts, like by Yom Suf, it started and it lasted all night. And seemingly there was a process. It sounds like from Bishalach, like there was a process of the wind, that the wind picked up and it started getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I think it says that by Arba too. Let's go back to Arba. By Arba, it says, look at Arba. Look at the beginning of it. It says, "Vayit Moshe es Matiel Aret Mitzrayim, Hashem Nihag Ruach Kadim Ba'aret Kol Hayom Ahu V'Chol Halayla Habukra Yavaruch Kardim Nasos Harbeh. So it sounds like there was a wind that was picking up and that was stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger until it became obvious that it was a miracle when it took all the Arbeh over. But it starts out naturally. It starts out where the Hashgacha is hidden, and then the Hashgacha becomes more and more obvious as the miracle goes and as the miracle comes through. So the point is that when the Piranios initially come, the Hashgacha is hidden. The Rasha should recognize that it's really, like I said before, the Rasha should recognize that it's not really from God. It's not really, he can't blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to blame himself for the situation. But ultimately, you're right. Ultimately, it becomes obvious as to what that it is Hashgacha and that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the very beginning, it's Ruach Kadim. The whole idea is that the initiation of Piranios occurs in a Nistar type of way. And again, I think it ties into the idea of the shade, which is where man's mind takes hold of him and his fantasies take control of him. And that's by the Rasha. The Rasha is unable to control himself and his mind and his fantasies. And that's the same idea, the same demonstration that the destruction and the pain and the damage that occurs to the Rasha through Shadim is his own fault. It's caused by his own frailty, not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like there's a hiddenness to the Hashgacha in the very beginning of Piranios, and that's the Ruach Kadim. That's what I'm saying the Ruach Kadim is. It's that it starts out, like the Chinuch is saying, starts out naturally. And it's like there's a Hashgacha B'Seser, and you wouldn't be able to recognize it. The Rasha doesn't recognize the Hashgacha. The Rasha has to recognize that it's not really, that he can't blame HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his own punishment, his own destruction. The Rasha has to, he doesn't get the privilege of, also that's the other possibility, he doesn't get the privilege of appreciating the Hashgacha. So that's, I think that's the idea.
Yeah. Rabbi Ginsburg.
Yes.
I have a proof for your svara from Rashi.
Okay.